So glad to have you along here. Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8. Always a pleasure to welcome two of my heroes, Brother Johnny, who's the Thomas Edison of oil and gas in Houston, Texas. Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning, Stevie.
And Hall of Famer Mike Ditka, all-around great guy, icon, an example in himself, the way he lives his life. Mike, how are you?
I'm okay, guys. How are you doing?
All right. Last night in Jacksonville, Florida, the debate.
Is he still the most anti-immigrant candidate?
I think of the four of us, yes.
Go ahead, Governor.
That's simply inexcusable. That's inexcusable. And actually, Senator Marco Rubio came to my defense and said that ad was inexcusable and inflammatory and inappropriate. Mr. Speaker, I'm not anti-immigrant. My father was born in Mexico. My wife's father was born in Wales. They came to this country. The idea that I'm anti-immigrant is repulsive. Don't use a term like that. You can say we disagree on certain policies, but to say that enforcing the U.S. law to protect our borders, to welcome people here legally, to expand legal immigration, as I approve, that that's somehow anti-immigrant, is simply the kind of over-the-top rhetoric.
And so it went last night in Florida. Johnny, I think this stuff has gotten to a point to where I'm starting to look at Ron Paul and go, you know, his foreign policy isn't that bad. I'm so tired of these guys going back like that.
They're not going to do it much longer. I think there's one debate next month. But Mike's been saying it the whole time. It's been a pretty negative back and forth from time to time as the candidates cool down. And then the argument is, well, you know, you get everything out on the table, and then the one who comes out ahead is better off, so which has got some validity to it. But right now it just doesn't seem that good. It'd be nice to have a little more focus on what these guys would do. Mike, I think I'd agree with that, but that's just the way it's going to be. There's no doubt.
Well, it turns me off, period. Any candidate that slams the other candidate that he's running against, it just turns me off. If you want to talk about the policies that are in office now, the guys in office, fine. Because that's really what you're trying to get in office for, is to affect change. But when you start slamming the other guy, you know, I disagree. If Gingrich said that, I just totally disagree with it. It has no bearing on anything. And anything they say about him, too, with his ex-wife or whatever, that has no bearing either. I mean, if you're going to concentrate, hey, if that's the way you get votes, by cutting the other guy down, then I just disagree with, because then I think you find out something about the people. I don't think they're that good at people anyways.
Well, and I tell you, I noticed anyway, when Gingrich took a pretty big jump there, Steve, you know, high 30s in Iowa, Romney did kind of start it with just a barrage, and it was a big pack of his. He that was kind of his excuse. Oh, I had nothing to do with it.
Right.
But
then
Gingrich just got knocked down to next to nothing, and so he started coming back, and he, I don't know if he could come up with another way to do it, Mike, but just to fight fire with fire.
Then don't do it. Then don't do it. If you can't do it on your own merit of what you believe and how you can affect change, if the American people don't buy into that, if they're going to buy into somebody because they call somebody else names or point out somebody else's shortnesses or shortcomings, I disagree. Then, you know, you get what you deserve in this country. You want to elect a guy for 4 more years, elect him. That's all there is to it. I mean, somebody's got to be honest about this. You know, in life, you get what you tolerate. If you tolerate no leadership, you get no leadership. If you tolerate strong leadership, then you elect a strong man, and I don't know who that is. I'll be honest with you.
You make a great point, Steve. You know, we elect all these people. Yeah. We do it. We always say we don't know how we got them. Well, we elected them.
Yeah, right. That's why I'm a term limit man, as you are, Johnny, through the core. I think that's the way to go, to take about two generations to evolve out of what we've got. But get people in there that actually vote for what's good for the country and not good for their fundraising and what's good for their approval rating. It's all about the next election. Just crazy.
Well, it's their career, and that's what they depend on. So
you spend 4 years in office as a president running for office. I mean, after a while, you get tired of that. I mean, you got to do something. You got to make decisions that are important. And it seems like every decision that comes up, especially like the oil and pipeline that came coming from Canada, to me, I'm not sure why anybody would veto that. I don't know why anybody would stop that. I don't. Maybe I just misunderstand something.
It's interesting, Mike. You know, Steve mentioned Ron Paul. He will say what he thinks. Whether
I have no problem with Ron Paul. I don't. I really don't. Ron Paul's a little old guy.
Yeah, he's.
I understand that, but you know, that's a little bit old. You know, I mean, but I have no problem with Ron Paul. I have no problem with anybody. I just have a problem with people who spend their whole time criticizing the other candidate instead of criticizing who they're trying to run against.
And it's just, it just really muddies the water. There's a thread of truth in everything that they say, but it's not the whole story. It's
Absolutely.
And it just confuses people. But the reason apparently they do it is what Romney did to Gingrich in Iowa. It works, so they all do it. And then it gets to be this muddy mess. I like Rick Santorum, too, but I think there's too many in the Republican establishment that just do not want Newt Gingrich, and they're just not going to let him get it, Johnny.
Well, it goes for Romney, too, Steve. Romney's like 70% don't want him.
Yeah.
That's the problem. So the number of conservatives are different than Romney voters seem to be more than he can get. But it's going to be Romney or Gingrich, so we'll just see. I couldn't tell you for sure. I'm going to guess Romney still.
Well,
what do you think, Mike? It's harder than calling the...
Well, then it doesn't matter. If Romney is the candidate, then you've got four more years of Democratic leadership in the White House. That's all there is to it. So just, you know, admit what it is. I don't know if anybody can beat him anyways.
It's hard to beat him, but it's hard for him to win, too. It's hard to win one of those elections, and you just don't know. I think he's definitely beatable, but... I don't know which candidate. I always thought Gingrich might be a better candidate, but he's also somewhat prone to getting in trouble on his own.
No question. Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM.
Steve, I got one for you, too. I got an idea for the president and the Democrats. This is productive. If Obama, if he should just give it up, and why go through it? Go on tour with Al Green, because I think he can sing. He'd make millions of dollars, Steve.
Yeah, you see.
And the country would save trillions. Save trillions. Well, it's a win-win.
He did sing a little Al Green.
It's all right.
Hey, in the State of the Union, the president said that we're back. America's back, and if anybody says differently, they don't know anything. Quote.
Okay, well, I got nothing then. But
we're all dumb, but I don't think America's gone anywhere. I think the policies that we're affecting our government, our political affairs, people in office are affecting, are making us go nowhere. I mean, really. I mean, right now, you know, you can't. You're trying to, raise the debt limit? Why? Find a way to limit spending. I mean, you created what? They want to create, 15 new agencies? Come on.
Yeah.
You got to get less government, not more government. I mean, it is what I mean. It's the government by the people for the people. I mean, it's not a government that's going to completely dominate the people because of, you know, make every rule there is. Now, I mean, now they're fixing kids' lunches. They're fixing. I mean, I don't understand it all. I'm sorry. I mean, that's the obligation, responsibility of the parents. I mean, it's their kid.
We can't do it.
They got to tell them what to eat. I mean, to me, I'm sorry. I just don't understand it all.
Steve, I think the president, you know, is trying to say that things are working and that. We're turning it around because of course that's what he needs people to believe. I don't know that that's the case, but I think that's when he says America's back, and to say that we're back in terms of our international reputation or esteem, I think we are looked upon as a lot weaker in the 3 years he's been president. So I disagree with that. We're back.
Well, how can you be back if when he took office we were $9 trillion. Debt. Now we're $15 trillion. Come on, stop it. I mean, come on, hey guys. I mean, you know, but people don't want to listen to common sense. People that vote that way won't listen to the facts. I mean, your grandkids are, you know, going to be in debt for the rest of their life.
We had another company go bankrupt, Steve, that we invested $118 million in.
Which country?
How do you get that money anyway?
Which country?
No, not country, company.
Oh, company, yes. Some of these green companies, the cylinders, I guess there's others out there as well.
There's one that just declared yesterday, filed for Chapter 11, $118 million, a battery company.
And that was a government-sponsored?
Yeah, Biden was over in that plant. But I mean, they're trying to help these companies. But I think the point there is that's just not necessarily going to work, and it's a real fast way to waste a lot of money.
John, let me ask you a question, though. You know, I understand what you just said. You know, they have no business getting into the private business sector, period. That's why we have banks, that's why the financial institution, that's why we have a lot of things. You want to borrow money, borrow money. No. Borrow money, the idea you have to pay it back.
Yeah. What hurts too, Mike, here's the thing about that, and the intent's there, but when the government is giving someone $118 million, there's 10 other companies out there that didn't get the application approved. Now they got to compete against someone who's just got this pile of money.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's unfair.
And until they go through it, Mike, they could also go out of business.
Absolutely.
Because these guys with the $100 million are spending it around town
and
looking pretty good to their customers. So,
and yet they don't have a business plan that works in any event, and that's why they go out in a lot of cases. Hey, startups are hard, as we all know. Let me ask you what he said about oil and gas, Johnny. He was essentially intimating that he's opened up more acres for exploration. But hasn't it been really difficult since BP to get anything going in the Gulf?
It's been slow with bureaucracy. Now, Barack Obama has been a completely disastrous oil and gas president. You can say that. One reason, because he shut drilling down in the Gulf of Mexico, which was, I think, an overreaction. But also because of things like the pipeline, Mike referenced, that he didn't approve in terms of getting energy down here. And he may have some statistic or some kind of acreage that may be coming available. He was looking at doing that before the BP spill, I will say that. But as far as getting things going in oil and gas, real slow, and I thought he mishandled the BP disaster, which set us back quite a ways. So I don't know how he can sell a whole lot of people on his oil and gas sector achievements. But things are picking up right now, Steve. And as far as permits go, slow to get them because we've increased that bureaucracy. Mike, it's just so common and it's American culture to add another bureaucracy when something goes wrong and think it's fixed, when it may just make it worse.
One more government business. I mean, I saw Fox thing last night on about people paying taxes and everybody pay their fair share. The people who pay less, who owe more to the IRS, are people who work for the government right now, and people in his own administration who owe more right now to the IRS than any other segment of our society.
You figure that out. Yeah. For a while, it seemed like every appointment he made hadn't been paying any taxes.
Yeah. Right?
Well, and they talk about corporations and how they need to pay their fair share, and his guy at GE, General Electric, didn't pay any taxes. None. Zero. And that's,
well, you know, and that's within the laws, and like Mike's always talked about these loopholes, and if you're going to operate in the U.S. system, you're either going to pay what you're going to pay what you owe is what you're going to do. And sometimes because of tax breaks or tax incentives, which is the government getting involved in the private sector again, you legally don't owe taxes for A, B, C reason. And so that's just the way the system works right now. So,
all right, it's Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. We are talking politics and what the president said, State of the Union. We shift now to football. Mike, in this two-week period, what do teams and coaches do around all of the hoopla leading up to February 5th for Super 46?
Well, what you try to do, really, the most intelligent thing to do is get everything done this week. When you leave for Indianapolis, you should have everything done. All your work should be in, and all your game planning will be in. You might have one little segment that you work on, whether it be short yardage or goal line or something like that. But you want to get everything done. And you want to have your players get all their families and friends and everybody to take a situation. Get it straightened out before you get to Indianapolis. If you don't, your mind is going to be on something else other than football, and you're going to have problems.
I'll tell you, it's isn't the Pro Bowl this weekend?
Yeah, Pro Bowl's this weekend, Mike. Isn't the only goal of the Pro Bowl is to have fun and don't get hurt?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it used to be, it used to be a badge of honor when they had it and this and that. And it still is to a degree. I think be recognized by your peers as one of the best in the game, I think that's important. I don't think that'll ever change, but it certainly has lost a lot of its luster. And don't forget that there's a lot of great football players playing on these two football teams who are not going to be in the Pro Bowl, who have earned the right to be there, whether it be Eli or Brady or whoever, you know. So it makes it a little tough.
Well, I can't imagine what an experience it is to play in the Super Bowl, but certainly a consolation is going to Hawaii instead of Indy right now.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
Getting with all your buddies. You know, I think it probably is a lot of fun getting to talk to some of the guys you're always playing against.
But you can't play half speed in football. You get hurt, but yet you don't want to hurt anybody as you hit them too hard.
They do pretty well, Mike, I think, the way they play.
The worst thing you can do is not go at a pace and protect yourself, or else you will get hurt. I mean, you play the game. I know when I played in it, it was never, we went just like it was a regular game.
Oh.
And even when I coached in it, I didn't see there was a whole lot of difference. I saw there was a little bit. I mean, you aren't going to take a shot. You meant normally taking a game where you could really put one on somebody. No, you might back off of that. But other than that, they got to tackle each other and they got to block each other.
Yeah.
But they sure play soft on, even on tackling the defenders. Just they're trying not to. But they didn't get anybody hurt too. I don't know of one last year anyway, but it wasn't a great game either. But,
all right, at this point, who do you guys like in the Super Bowl 8 days, 9 days away? What do you think, Mike?
You know, I really don't know. You know, I guess I shouldn't say this because I work. I really don't care who wins it. I have no. The Giants really have played pretty well, good football coming down the stretch. Giants got a better defense. Pat's got a better offense, in my opinion. And I think the Giants are going to have to continue to score points like they are if they're going to win the game. Because the Pats, I don't think they can match up in their secondary with the Patriots. Now, that's if Gronkowski's healthy. I don't know if he's healthy.
Boy, that's huge because that guy. I think for some reason, Mike, and it just appears like Eli Manning can win playoff games.
It may be his year. You're right. He played outstanding football, and he's been in a comeback mode for a long time. And he did it when he played the Patriots back in 08 or 07, and he's still doing it. I mean, his fourth quarter statistics are unbelievable.
Yeah, and I think he's thrown for 960 yards, 8 touchdowns, 1 interception in the postseason. Eli is playing great football.
I would think so. He's pretty good. I don't think he's anybody's little brother anymore.
Tell you, he started with that Dallas game was kind of a playoff. Yep. Well, that was a playoff game.
It must win. Right.
Then they haven't really looked back. So I think that it will be the Giants, Stevie. Somehow or other, they took, remember when Belichick and Brady were 18-0, and it looked like this was it for the Miami Dolphins of 1972, who went 17-0, and sure enough, Eli somehow, and the Giants beat them.
Caught the pass on his helmet. Remember that fourth down play? I'll never forget that catch. All right, let's shift back. I got a caller, and I want to address this because I think it's a pretty good question. The caller says that if you said the president blew it on the BP disaster, he wants to know, Johnny, what should he have done?
Well, he should have focused on BP and their drilling, just like the engineering panel from the National Science Foundation recommended, that we didn't have a real drilling problem. They made some mistakes in what they were doing. Chevron, Shell, and Exxon did not have to stop drilling. He shut the entire drilling program in the Gulf of Mexico down. And to crank that back up, if you shut it down for 3 months, it's going to take about 9 to get back to where you were. It's not 1-for-1. That was what he shouldn't have done.
Okay.
And then I also believe, too, Steve, that he should have been a little more scientific about the impact. There was a lot of talk about oil on the beaches from Key West all the way around to Brownsville. There was no oil on the beach at Key West all the way around to Brownsville. Like I said, to fill 1 cubic mile of the Gulf of Mexico up, it would have taken over 1,000 years of this oil well blown out. And we had the stats there. It's a big Gulf of Mexico. It's not a good thing, but this was no Alaska spill. So the two things that he should have done has been more positive about people getting out there to the beaches, a bad economy anyway, and the beaches went to nothing that summer.
Yeah.
People were afraid of oil waves. And the second thing he should have done is allowed drilling from the people who knew, had their procedures a little better fixed to keep drilling. And that's what I would
say. Okay. All right. Good answer. I mean, because you're talking about a president that it just doesn't want to do oil and gas, and I think it's because of the strong left influence of the environmentalists who apparently will go door-to-door for the campaign, but if he turns them off, they simply won't go door-to-door.
And I'm not sure he understands it. I think he's a smart guy, and he's learning, but, boy, that's just a big mistake, too. Mike, we had some really, really good jobs that went by the way for a while during that period, and that was a critical period. So that's what I meant. But it is a good question because everybody rants about everything, and those are the reasons. And we need the oil, too. It just puts more dependence back on the imports that we're trying to get out of with alternative energy and more of our own oil.
And the pipeline would have created at least 10,000, conservatively, 10,000 jobs more?
Well, and just got in oil from Canada, which we'd rather buy it from Canada than Iran, for sure.
And they have been studying the effects of this thing since 2008, and yet the people that were trying to get this passed commissioned their own research group to do the study, which apparently is a conflict of interest. So the government said, we can't trust it. We got to do it again. It's just all kinds of bungling going on around that thing. It's just crazy. It's just crazy.
Well, and you just have to expedite. You don't want to slow something like that down. You want to actually speed it up. And
yeah.
That's more of an example of government. But then the politics that Obama has kind of tends towards slowing it down, you say, because some of his constituents don't want that kind of thing. They're worried about it ruining the environment.
Mike, that's why this morning I'm saying, I know Ron Paul's 76, but I think I like him more and more. Is he saying no government, no government? No, I'm probably more libertarian now than ever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a good point. I think people get fed up with that. There's a segment of our society that depends totally on government and people helping them. And, our rule in society, I thought government was to help people find ways to help themselves, not just to hand them the money. So I think we got a major problem, and I don't think it's going to change either. I mean, I have nothing against welfare. I have nothing against helping people. But I think you got to encourage people to help themselves. You got to find ways to get people to work. And whatever it may be, I don't care what it is. There's a lot of ways we can get people to work that we aren't doing right now without getting the government totally involved with another agency.
Johnny?
I was going to say that another problem we've got is we've evolved into this idea, and I don't know where it came from, but in a lot of areas, our retirement is 50, 55. We're working 20 years in some careers, 25 years, and then we want to retire for like 40 years. I don't know how that is going to work.
That's what they're doing in France, I think. So I mean,
it's hard to, Mike. It's a great thing if you can do it, but just living longer and working shorter, that's one of the. And the government's trying to carry that and making promises accordingly. So that's one of our problems too. And that idea that I put in my time might not be quite correct in terms of the years of working versus years of retiring.
Johnny celebrated a birthday earlier this week. He's another year and looking good. He's back to his Fighting Illini football playing weight, for crying out loud.
Man, I tell you what, it's dangerous if he's down that low.
That's for sure.
Watch out on the golf course now, Mike.
What are you kidding? Off those vignettes.
Hey, I'll leave it there, guys. We'll meet again Monday, but thank you as always. It's a pleasure
and
honor.
Thank you, guys. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Again.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Brother Johnny, Hall of Famer himself in the National Academy of Sciences, one of only 250 civil engineers in the world in that National Academy of Sciences. Also, of course, Ed's VersaBar, vbar.com. And Thomas Edison of our time in oil and gas. And Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, icon, the coach. Always a pleasure. 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM, Mondays and Fridays with Mike Ditka.